This is the KPFT local station board monthly meeting for January. It is January 18th, 2023, and I am calling this meeting to order.
What time?
7:05 p.m.
Okay.
And I have requests for excused absences from Henry Faust, Lillian Kerr, Mike Lewis, Frank Pratka, Ted Weiskall did not ask for an excused absence. He specifically declined an excused absence because he doesn't believe in excused absences, but.
Okay, so we got Lillian, Henry, Mike, and Frank.
Lillian, Henry.
And yes. Ted's absence should definitely not be excused in that case.
And agree. I move approval, Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I move approval of those excused absences.
Are there any objections to approving the excused absences? We need a second? We need a second for that? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
And are there any objections to approving the requested excused absences?
I object.
Who is that?
Gartner.
Okay, I'll do it.
We're gonna call the roll to approve the excused absences.
And that was information, Madam Chair.
That was four people, right?
I have four.
Is Deb on the call?
So there's a fifth one. Didn't she send a request?
Are we taking roll or what's going on now?
We're clearing the excused. Absences before we take the roll.
Did you tell me that she was going to
What does that have to do with Deb Shafto?
She's a member of the board?
Come on, guys.
Well, then are we taking roll?
No, we're talking.
Why is it Richard interrupting with asking about Deb Shafto? Roll,
Robert, relax. Okay, do I add Deb Shafto? Do I add Deb Shafto to that?
She doesn't seem to have checked in. We thought she would, but we weren't sure. So she had requested an excused absence.
Okay, this is for.
Okay, this is for the excused absences.
Madam Chair,
just one second, Adriana. Mr. Gartner has his hand up.
Yeah, well, I made an objection. I also object to the legitimacy of this meeting. Maybe that takes priority over what you're doing now. I don't know.
And your objection?
It wasn't properly noticed to the board that we were having a meeting tonight.
Jesus.
Is this true? Is it not on KPFTX?
It was posted on KPFTX.
It was posted on KPFTX. Sorry, Richard. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
About 12 days before the meeting. And we called everybody except I don't know that they called you, Bob, because you didn't give us a phone number.
Those calls were for the special meeting, right?
And this meeting at the same time.
Well, I wasn't notified.
Okay.
But you're here.
What difference does that make?
May we proceed, Madam Chair?
Yes, let us proceed. We are going, Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll, please?
Madam Chair, can you answer my
question? Oh, yes, Adriana, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me, I want to get
We have special and standing rules. I want to know if all the people that you are talking about, if you receive an email, if you were so kind to send to the board, the email of those people asking for excuse absences, because, you know, that is an hour standing rule. At least 3 hours before of the meeting, we need to receive an email from the people asking for an excuse absence. And I think that is kind of irregular that most of us don't receive anything. And some people say, oh, I talked to so-and-so and I'm asking for an excuse absence. If a member doesn't have the time to even send a small email saying, I'm asking for an excuse absence, I don't know what this is. I need that to be clarified. Thank you.
Thank you, Adriana. I was not aware that was my responsibility. Thank you for drawing it to my attention.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
It is not your responsibility. It is the responsibility of the board members to remain informed. And that is why meetings are posted on kpftx.org, which this was. All objections to the posting of the meeting should be overruled.
Thank you, Mac. My understanding is that the majority of the requests that I see are copied to the LSB. Now, I'm not going to be guarantee that with perfection, but that's what I think. That is when I look at my email. In any
point of order, Madam Chair?
Yes, Susan.
Have you ruled the Robert Gartner's this being out of order?
No, I have not, but I would like to rule his objection out of order, and are there any objections?
I object.
Yeah, I object.
We're going to have a vote on the five excused absences. Teresa Allen?
Please.
Oh, you're good at that.
Can you finish? Because you answered Bob Gartner, but you didn't answer my question. May I know where the emails from the people that we are trying to excuse? I don't have any problem.
I'm sorry. I think I might have said it before you got on the meeting. It's Henry Faust, Lillian Kerr, Mike Lewis, and Frank Pratka.
You received from those
Deb Shafto.
And Deb Shafto, which I have.
You receive an email from Deb Shafto?
Yes.
Actually,
Richard spoke to her and Richard emailed me.
He say that he didn't. He's just imagining.
There's a piece of email.
What?
There's a piece of email. We need to vote to excuse the absences.
Madam Chair, if he doesn't receive an email and nobody saw the email, I don't have any problem excusing the other four people that you say that you receive an email. But you are telling me that Richard talked to her. Richard is saying that
I'm going to look in my email. Hold on.
Piece of email.
Okay, Richard, would you kindly dig up that email and send it to everyone?
I'm trying to do this right now, though.
Okay, hold on.
Are you the chair, Richard?
I asked Richard for his help.
Yeah.
Don't start with me.
He's going to do something else.
Don't start with me.
Why don't you correct him?
Do you want to do the excused absence vote?
Yes.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
Can we clarify, Madam Chair, who are we excusing?
Oh, I just said that.
And I made an objection.
Orders of the day.
Four names.
Orders of the day. We're going to vote on the excused absences.
Madam Chair,
no.
For the record, you said that you received four emails.
And I am looking for the fifth. If you just give me a second.
In the meantime, if you don't mind, can we approve the four that you received the email and then find out what the problem is with the other one?
Email. There's an email.
I'm sorry, Richard, we have a chair. I'm talking to the chair. I think that I entitled to.
Hold on one second.
Roll.
No. We are voting on the excused absences
of four members.
Five.
Why, if you cannot prove to us that, Madam Chair?
She's trying to do
it. I am looking for it. Why would I make it up?
Can we
honest to goodness, it's right here. I'm forwarding it.
You just said in the recording.
You just said
that Richard talked to her. That you didn't receive any email.
I have the email right now. And I'm sending it to the LSB. There it is.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're very welcome. Let me.
Orders of the day.
Okay. Excused absences.
Teresa Allen. For or against excused absences? She's not there. Britton, David Britton?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Did you have a name?
I pass for now. I want to see the email.
What a bitch. Robert Gardner.
Present.
What?
I'm present.
How about this? You don't want to vote? Okay.
What? Are you talking to me?
Bob Locander.
Four.
Four. Okay. Wally James.
Four.
Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Yes. John Kelly McPherson.
Yes, please.
Yes. Frank Fratka. No, he's asked. Nancy Sabar Naratomi.
I'm waiting for the emails.
I sent it twice because of the funniness with the LSB list in the email. I sent it to my personal created list and to the KPFT LSB list.
Put her down as a no and move on.
Yeah, thank you.
Point of order, Nancy.
We're trying to do the vote. We don't need that.
Point of order, Nancy.
We're voting on the excused absences.
Okay, Jane Schneider, are you for or against it?
Yes, I have a point of order about the excused absences.
For it, okay.
Excuse me? I didn't hear you.
Sister Mama Sonia?
Abstain.
Abstain, thank you. William Stone?
I vote for the motion to excuse Teresa Allen's excuse absence and all other votes for excuse absences for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Prashanda Thibodeau. Richard Uzzell, yes. Sandy Weinman.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Ted Weiskel. Venetia Williams. Venetia.
Member in French.
Egberto Willis. Egberto, you're not there. Susan Young.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we had this.
Gardner votes no. I thought this was a roll call. I will not accept an excused absence for somebody that calls in at 4:30 in the afternoon.
I got you down.
That's against the bylaws.
I got you. No, no, it didn't.
Yes, it is, sir.
Adriana Casanay, you pass.
Vote no.
No? Okay. Who else passed? Nancy Sabar and Artomi. Excuse the absence.
The standing rule says they're supposed to send to the LSB at kpft.org.
Oh, yes or
and
no.
I'm still looking for James.
Yes
well,
or
no. I always say no because they didn't send to the LSB. Who do they send?
High school. Venetia Berto. Okay.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I note that Teresa Allen has joined.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I did not see her.
Teresa,
hi, Teresa. Welcome. Thank you for your patience, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late.
You want to vote on the excused absence?
Yes, I do.
Okay, how do you vote?
I say yes.
Okay. Okay, 11-3. I think it passes.
Okay.
Attendance. Attendance is Teresa Allen.
Present.
Brenton.
Here.
Casane.
I have a question.
Casane.
You're out of order.
Present.
Casane. You're present. Okay. Bob Locander.
Present.
Present. Jane.
Me? Yes.
James.
Oh, James. Wally.
Wally James. Wally, you there? You were there a minute.
Yeah, I was muted.
Martinez.
Present.
Thank you. McPherson.
I'm hanging in there, boss. Hanging in there.
Thank you. The Barnard told me.
Present.
Thank you. Scheidler.
Present.
Thank you. Shafto. Mama Sonia.
Present.
Thank you. Stone.
I'm here. I'm present. Thank you.
Thank you. Thibodeau. Thibodeau. Giselle here. Weinman.
Present.
Thank you. Weiskel. Ted here yet? Williams.
Ted sent an email a little while ago. He will not be here.
At all? Okay. Williams. Benicia. Egberto. Willis. Okay. Susan Young.
Here.
Okay, Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Before we approve the agenda, another question has been brought to our attention concerning the opening of the chat function. And there was enough difference of opinion that I think it's appropriate for us to have another quick vote on whether we want to open the chat function or not.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Susan.
I make a motion to close the chat function.
Do I hear a second?
Yeah. I'll second Teresa Allen.
Okay. The motion has been made and seconded to close the chat function. I will entertain, Susan, can you want to motivate your motion real quick?
Yes. I think that the chat has two problems. One, people mistake it for being a part of the official record, and I think it's important for that to be clear that it is not, and I don't think you can maintain that clarity while it is it's a pathway for people to be talking back and forth. The second is, I think that it's not uncommon for there to be abusive, kind of back and forth on it, and I don't think that that is helpful or appropriate. I think that it causes confusion in the meeting.
Thank you. And someone was it Adriana was going to speak against?
Yes.
All right. 1 minute. Go.
Madam Chair, one of the main reasons why.
Wait. Somebody's not muted, y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Normal when I speak.
Go ahead.
One of the main reasons what the Corporation for Public Broadcasting allow us to have meetings by phone is because we allow the communication with the members. I believe that really is, what else can we do more? We ask for their money, but we don't want to know what they want to say there. Why are you so afraid of what? Let people talk. If you are doing the right thing, why do you think that that is so terrible? You not only have all the powers, you bend every possible law by law, everything, but you don't want anybody that is paying, that is part of the membership,
have the right to tell what they think. Why that affects you? That is so coward. I'm sorry, but that is a sign of the people that throw a stone and hide their hands.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against? Marianne, I see your hand.
Yes. Well, you know, the CPB guidelines are mostly concerning community advisory board. And it doesn't really, actually, the CPB guidelines urge that we not get involved with the local station board, only through the communication of the CPB, or I mean, I'm sorry, the CAB, the community advisory board. So, you know, that argument really doesn't pertain to us. I really don't think so.
Thank you. Sister Mama Sonia, you have your hand up.
Yes. I think if we disable the chat and not allow people to communicate to the chat, that censorship both to the public and to the board. Also, it does not have to be a part of the minutes at all.
No, it can't be. But
well, someone, I'm going to speak to what someone else had said.
Okay, thank you.
And I think it's a membership to both us and the community.
Mac.
Every time we've seen, I've watched the chat, I've even, to my chagrin, even been involved in it. It just devolves into the ugliest, the ugliest exchanges, the most vituperative attacks. The meeting itself is bad enough, and the chat just can have no effect other than to inflame it. I join in the motion to disable it.
All right, we're winding
Nancy,
down on discussion. Just one thing. Bob Gartner still had, is that an old hand or a new hand, Mr. Gartner?
It's a new hand.
Okay, great. Speak.
Yeah, I agree completely with what Adriana has shared. I think it's just more of the same, like slamming down the question I had about the legitimacy of this meeting tonight. You know, you just totally co-opted me and closed it out. No discussion or vote or anything. Freedom of speech.
All right. And Susan, do you have your hand up? I saw your
physical
hand.
Yes, I did.
I didn't see your electronic hand.
My cat took my hand out. So we have public comment. We have half an hour of public comment. I know one of the points that has been raised by PNB member, Beth Von Gunten, is that not everybody has access to chat. Many people do, but she makes a formal request every meeting to not put things in chat that she can't see. We have public comment that's required, under the bylaws. And that satisfies that concern for everybody to speak publicly.
I'm going to get two more very quick comments, and then we're going to hear the vote. We're going to call the question. Nancy, you had your hand up. Does somebody?
Yes.
When you've spoken, try to take your hand down because it's hard enough keeping track and trying to keep people in order. I'm doing the best I can. Go ahead, Adriana, I'm sorry. Oh, Nancy.
Okay. This Pacifica network is based on freedom of speech. And we're supposed to be, you know, the biggest one, the only one maybe, that really protects freedom of speech. And the chat is a side conversation. It is not part of the minutes. It's not part of the meeting. It's like people in the room leaning over to each other and talking. And the CPB stresses and requires that we have open meetings What more open can you be than to allow a chat? It's like, no, you cannot shut up. You cannot talk in this meeting. That we don't do things like that in an in-person meeting. We never censor people. So this board, KPFD board, is going to vote against freedom of speech. I rest my case.
Thank you for your comment, Adriana. You are the last one in the stack, and then we're going to call the question.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. What just Nancy said is absolutely perfect, but what I'm really sad that Miriam Martinez, she's a director, and she quote what she says is totally wrong. The bylaws are saying what it is, and the CPB talk about all the meetings need to be open. The PNB and all its committees. I don't understand how we have directors and how we have LSP members that never read and never really see the bylaws. The bylaws are very clear. We are supposed to be open. Why are we afraid of something? People just talk in the chat. You don't need to take whatever they have, or whatever they say. During years, members were coming to in-person meeting, some of them with some mental problems, and attacking me in front of everybody. And I need to listen to them and not to respond, because that's the way that the nature of this business. When we are there, we have people that can say terrible things about us, and we don't even could in the meeting answer them. If you are so sure that you are doing the right thing, why are you afraid? Let people talk. Free speech.
Oh, all right.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. Secretary, thank you, Adriana. Mr. Secretary, will you call the roll? We're calling the question. The motion has been made and seconded and discussed that be it resolved that the KPFT LSB will close the chat function. Did I capture it?
Okay, Alan. Somebody, Alan.
Alan says yes.
Yes. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Casanave? Adriana?
Absolutely no.
No. Gardner? You gonna vote, Robert?
Hold on a minute. What is the vote?
Okay, James.
Yes.
Oh, on the chat?
Right.
The vote
I
is
vote for the chat.
Okay. That's so a no.
No.
Okay. No, that's a yes.
Okay.
That's no. Yeah.
Martinez.
Oh my God.
Martinez.
No.
No on the chat? No, wait a minute. To close it? This is to close the chat. Yes or no? Close
yes,
the chat.
Yes.
Okay.
Close it. Everybody's confused.
McPherson. John Kelly McPherson.
Sorry. Yes. Close the chat, please.
Yes. Sabar Naratomi.
No.
No. Shafto, did she show up? Sister Moma Sonia?
Adamantly against closing the chat.
Is that a no?
Stone? Adamantly against closing Stone. The chat.
Stone?
No.
No what?
Okay. Let me be clear. I'm voting against the motion to close the chat. No.
Against. Okay. No. The Thibodeau, she show up. Uzel, this is motion to close, yes. Sandy Weinman. Sandy Weinman.
Sorry, abstain, thank you.
Abstain. Ted Weisko. Venetia Williams, Egberto Willis, Susan Young.
Yes, to close the chat.
Yes. Jane Scheidler, would you like to vote in this?
I vote to close the chat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
On the basis that we have public comment.
Okay, we're just taking a vote.
Thank you.
Okay, we got 8-5 to,
Did you call Bob Lokander?
I don't know. Did I?
No, he didn't. I'm going to abstain. I'll have my vote is to abstain on the issue.
I'm sorry, Bob. Okay. It was, what did I say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 5 no and 2 abstentions.
Recapitulation, please.
Motion didn't carry.
Richard, can you repeat the yes? Because
Nancy,
I have a different
request for recapitulation, please.
Does that mean redo the, tell you what, yes and no? Okay.
No, read the names, I asked, because I have a different count. So.
Okay, you be quiet. You gotta be quiet for me to read them. Okay, Alan, yes. Britton, yes.
Please, respectful.
Casanave, no. Gardner, no. Lokander, abstain. James, yes. Martinez, yes. McPherson, yes. Savar Naratomi, no. Scheidler, yes. Sister Momosonia, no. Stone, no. Uzel, yes. Weinman abstain. And Susan Young voted yes. Now it's 8-5-2. It's a count. So the motion didn't pass. The
motion does not pass. Okay.
Motion did pass.
It's a simple majority. Right.
Point of information.
Okay. Teresa, quickly.
Tell me again, it requires 2/3 to pass?
No, it does not. It's a simple majority. My head was not in the game.
Correct?
It did pass.
Yes, it did pass. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right. Now we have so many more exciting things to do. You all received the agenda and we are now at the point of our meeting where we move to approve
the agenda.
Thank you, Susan. I hear a second.
Madam Chair, I have a question again, a point of information.
Yes.
Of course.
One of our members questioned the more than seven years and a half of one of the members in this board. And you sent an email today saying that he was more than a year out. How do you arrive to that conclusion? Because it's not having the minutes.
What?
Is anybody that check really?
What?
And can tell us how long was Mr. Mike Lewis when he was 1 year off this board?
And you read my email?
Yes, it's no dates there. That's why.
I'm sorry, what?
It's not any explanation there. You said that he was a year off. Can you tell me when the year off was? Because for what we check, we cannot find when he was 1 year off the board.
I request that
no idea what you mean.
Postpone your, it was this a motion?
No, Madam Chair, it's a point of information because you sent an email telling that he was 1 year off the board. I want to know from where you have that information. If you check, because we cannot find when he was 1 year off the board, according to the bylaws.
Okay.
Isn't this a motion to approve the agenda? Simply?
It's a motion to, yes, thank you.
This
does not relate to the motion on the floor.
You gave me the floor for a point of information, Madam Chair.
But the point of information has nothing to do with approving the agenda, so it's out of order.
We cannot go ahead.
Point of order.
It's a point. Yes.
Madam Chair, can you answer my point?
No, I'm not going to answer your question right this second. It's out of order.
You gave me the floor?
No.
Because I see that somebody jumping over in my voice and doesn't have the floor. You gave me the floor. You asked me, Adriana, what is your point of information?
Adriana, mm-hmm. Your comment is out of order because that is not what we are discussing.
It's a point of information, Madam Chair.
It is not a point of information about approving the agenda.
Why are you giving me
the floor? It's not a point of information about approving the agenda.
Oh, my God.
Call the question.
Orders of the day, please.
All right. All those in favor of approving the agenda.
Yes.
Yes.
Adriana, have anyone opposed?
Is there anyone opposed to approving the agenda?
I have an amendment for the agenda.
You do?
Can I answer you with an amendment to the agenda?
Quickly?
Yes. I want to put in the agenda. We need to find out. We need to create somebody. I don't know who will do it, but can check the status of Mike Lewis member.
It has been checked. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment, but that is we'll put that we'll make that 12 at the bottom of the agenda.
Perfect. Thank you.
And it will add in anybody else.
Thank you.
We'll bring those numbers forward at the next meeting.
For that to be the agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Take the regular vote.
Is there any objection?
Are there any objections? I'm sorry, what?
To the agenda? I'm asking what you said just now. I couldn't hear a lot of people talking.
Okay.
You said you're adding it to the agenda, or you said something about next month?
We're adding it to the agenda at the moment.
Okay, and I sent last week a motion, and I had all the evidence from the minutes, and I found only 5 months lapse on 2019. That's not enough to trigger a reset.
We're not discussing that right now.
Yes, so it will be on the agenda. That's what I wanted to clarify. Today.
All right. The agenda has been approved. Have we read the minutes? Have everyone read the minutes that were sent to them?
Madam Chair, no.
I'm sorry, Susan.
Two people have joined, Chrisandra Thibodeau and Venetia Williams.
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome.
The approval of the minutes for the 14th, 2022.
Second.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes of December 14th meeting?
Adriana, have a question about the minutes?
Oh, yes. Jesus.
I mean, really. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, if I don't mistake, we need to put in the minutes what happened in the meeting, right? And I don't see in the minutes when we have a point of order. I'm sorry, you can shake your head, Madam Chair, but that is Robert rules. The action that happened when you have a point of order where the chair, dismisses or not, the point of order need to be there. Even most of them when are both on. How could it be that they are never in the minutes?
They are in the minutes.
Okay. I don't see. Secretary. The minutes record action taken. If a point of order is brought up and there is no action taken, it doesn't need to be in the minutes.
Yes, because it's a vote. When the chair dismiss and somebody challenge, it's an action. We vote to support or not the chair. It means it's an action. And need to be in. Richard, please, Madam Chair, can you control the secretary? You can give him the option to speak, but he cannot interrupt anyone.
Trying to get it straightened out for you, Adriana. Do you know
point of order? The secretary has not asked for the chair for the floor.
A particular point of order that should be in these minutes? If so, tell me.
See, he's talking. He hasn't even asked for permission for the floor. Chair, please instruct the secretary.
Yes, please.
Did I just call on you, Nancy? Hi, yeah. Mac. Mr. Secretary, would you please address Member Adriana Kasaneve and get clarification on her question?
Do you have a particular point of order that you know of that should be in here?
If so, I have a lot of them listening to the meetings. Yes.
No, there aren't.
I can send you exactly that. Are you agreeing to put it on the minutes?
Send it to me.
Thank you. Sure. Okay.
I didn't Mac, agree.
To I'm sorry. Richard's not. Chair. Was Richard done? Richard, were you done?
Yeah, I said I didn't agree to anything.
Okay.
Madam Mac. Chair, under the rules, the minutes may be amended at any time to reflect any inconsistencies or corrections. So the motion is on the floor. I understand that there's at least one objection to approving the minutes. So I ask that I ask the chair to call
the question.
Please
approve the minutes. All in favor of approving the minutes, please. We're going to quick roll call. No, Susan, we're going to have a quick roll call.
Yeah, there were objections. Are there any objections? There were objections.
Yeah, there are objections.
Okay, this is for approval of the minutes.
With the understanding that they can be modified by proper notification.
Rules.
Okay, go.
Teresa?
Alan says yes.
Yes. Britton?
Yes.
Yes. Kasaneve? You want to vote on that?
Move on.
Say no.
Gardner?
No.
No. Locander? Locander?
Yeah, abstain.
Abstain. Jane?
Yes.
Yes. Martinez?
Yes.
Yes. McPherson?
Yes. Can we get on to something meaningful?
Radka?
Not here.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Sabara Naratomi?
No.
No. Sister Mona Sonia?
Abstain.
Abstain. Stone?
My vote is to approve the prior minutes. Thank you.
Yes, okay. Thibodeau?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Uzel, yes. Weinman?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Weiskel? Williams?
Yes.
Hey, thank you. Willis? Young?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, Adriana Kasaneve, you want to vote on this?
I already voted no.
Well, I didn't know.
I didn't hear you.
Okay, let me count them.
Too much noise.
Yeah, and that's the truth. Okay, it's 11 yes, 3 no, 2 abstention.
Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you all for being so engaged. Staff recognitions, we are allowed 5 minutes for this. I see two people with virtual hands up. I don't know if they're current or not. Mac, do you have your hand? Do you intend to have your hand up?
I did not, but since you called on me,
sorry.
I want to commend everybody because we're putting on some good radio. Thank you.
Thank you. And somebody else had the, I didn't see another hand. Anybody else want to participate in staff recognition? Going once.
This is Nancy.
Listenership is up. There's some good programming going out. Things are getting settled. It's, and it is very much a group effort. The whole staff is working together, paid and volunteer, and it shows. Nancy, did you have your hand up?
No, but I'll put it up now.
Okay. Nancy! Can I see?
Yes. I really, am happy about the, HD2 programming, the COVID Race and Democracy Show, the, People's News, the Proyecto Latinoamericano, a lot of other shows on HD2, but I really think they deserve to have a little bit of, promotion on the FM, and they would reciprocate. I think they should reciprocate and promote the FM shows when they go on. So if they could say, like, right now, if you go on FM, the such and such show is on. Or if you would like to, if you're on the FM, they could say, well, right now on the HD2 is such and such. That way they're helping each other and we could become more connected and people understand that we have, the HD2 because there's not that many cards about HD2 programming. That's all. Thank you.
It's not exactly a staff recognition. Would you consider sending an email to make sure that that gets documented?
Okay. I mean, it's really gripping stuff. We're ahead of Democracy Now. I mean, People's News, they reported a week and a half before Democracy Now did that Harris County Jail had the record of 27 or 28 dead. And one man was died after asking repeatedly for insulin. She did it about a week and a half later saying Rikers Island had a new record of 18 people, but Harris County beat that. I mean, we're really ahead. And all those people in Cashmere Gardens having the railroad company dump creosote in their backyards and a lot of cancer going on. I mean,
this
is gripping news.
This is staff. Well, it's the staff. She's complimenting the show for its coverage. So. It's, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
But we've got 5 minutes.
So Arnie Arneson on Mondays, Scott Braddock, he's just fabulous about Texas politics. I wish that show was a little bit later, but anyway, I get up at 5 a.m. on Monday to hear Scott Braddock because he's the dean of the Austin Press Corps. He lives in Cypress Fairbanks. Kind of close to us. He knows a lot. Oh, anyway, it's a wonderful show. Thank you.
Thank you. And now in order, Sister Mama Sonia, then Cassandra, then Susan.
Yes, I wanted to give a kudos to Akua Holt, Pan-African Journal. She continues to bring salient issues that are not heard anywhere else in this city. And she did an absolutely wonderful Martin Luther King program this past Monday. And she does a lot of stuff that even, not even on our station, on nationwide feeds. And she brings home what we do in Houston to the entire nation and beyond. So kudos to Akua Holt.
Thank you very much. Cassandra.
I thought that Dwayne Bradley brought awareness to, during his Open Journal show, to a lot of musical events that were happening, one of them being Marina Rocks. And then a few days later, I heard Rourke Smith's show in the morning, and he highlighted Marina Rocks, and I just thought she was phenomenal. And it was great that these people, these DJs, that they just bring so much awareness to wonderful music. And also Robin Lewis with Teresa Allen, Sandy Weinman, Henry Foss, about trying to plan other fundraising events. So always working behind the scenes constantly to raise money. I just think that's phenomenal. So.
Thank you. Susan was next and then Teresa.
Yeah. First of all, I know we're going to hear more in Sandy's report, but congrats on the fundraising, on the fund drive. I realize you say, Sandy, that we're not there yet, but boy, we turned the corner. We have great creds to be able to bring to the national office. or to the PNB. I'd also like to recognize and thank, Nancy and, Cassandra for really paying attention and bringing up the many shows that are really doing well. And I think the idea of promoting HD2 shows, on HD1 sounds great.
Great. Thank you. Teresa, you have your hand up. And ladies and gentlemen, members, if you can, when you finish speaking, take your virtual hand down so that I don't get any more confused.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Robin Lewis, who set us up for the MLK parade and is working very hard on the Our Car parade. And we are looking for someone who might have a car or an idea to fix up a car, for the Our Car parade coming up. I want to thank, the people that participated in the MLK parade, Rod Jennings, Frank Kraka, Bill Crozier, carrying our banner and distributing our flyers, and Nancy, who met us at the end. I wanted to thank, I think Rad Rich was there interviewing people. I have not heard specifically, but I think he was. I want to thank Susan Werner, the musician who has, approached Milbend and who, offered, to do a concert. And we have offered, 5 pairs of tickets for that concert on February the 11th. And all proceeds from those tickets will go to KPFT. And it should be, I think, the concert will fit what KPFT is all about. And it's really great to work with such marvelous volunteers. So thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Anybody else for staff recognition? Last call. And ladies and gentlemen, it is 7:57. We adjourn at time certain of 8:00 for public comment. I respectfully request that the IGM hold to unless you want to give us 2 minutes now, Sandy. Sandy is going to have a very full report, and I would like to for him to have uninterrupted time.
Proceed, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So technically we start at 8:00 with public comment, but we can start 3 minutes early as far as I'm concerned, unless that breaks some kind of rule I don't know about.
Start.
Thank you. And we are opening public comment 3 minutes early. That does not mean we will close at 3 minutes early. We're starting at 7:57, 7:58. Public comment is now open. And I'm going to need some technical assistance on this because sometimes on my computer, it's very hard for me to see things that I should be seeing. So if y'all see somebody in line and I don't see it, please speak up. Is that PK with her hand up?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead, PK. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I don't know whether I even want to give my 2 cents. When I see things like taking the chat out, because people say crazy things. Everybody here on this call takes responsibility for themselves. And, you know, when you roll your eyes because somebody has interrupted somebody, you both end up being kind of guilty for the problems, that are having among yourselves. I really do think that one of the things that we're going to have to do as listeners and especially members is that we need a counter to the nefarious underpinnings to keep people from having their voice and having their say. One of the hardest things for anybody is usually feeling like they're not heard.
Excuse me for a second, PK. And I'm finna break all kind of protocols. I'm sorry. But Madam Chair, we had this discussion about the chat being open. The chat was open. It has just been closed. The chat needs to be open. I will monitor the chat. Like I said, I would.
The body voted to close the chat. We can revisit it at another time, but at this time.
8 members. 7 for me, but 8 members.
When was that vote taken? And I'm sorry for breaking. I'm sorry. But nobody that I'm on a board with closes that chat. Nobody.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes, Susan.
This is public comment. So anything that's brought up by a board member needs to happen after public comment and can be addressed then.
You know what? You do know I'm well aware of the rules. And I did preface what I said by what I said. Please don't chastise me.
This is public comment, and it is, we are normally very respectful, all of us, and
no, we're not.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry, Jane. We're not.
We're respectful of public comment. But as a group, this board does tend to step out during public comment. So please go ahead, PK.
I wish we could kind of all have a conversation during public chat. Maybe I could facilitate it for you. But we're not nice to one another. And because you have the numbers, you still have to include the others and give them at least a modicum of respect rather than the meetings that I know that you have outside of these meetings to decide what motion you're going to make and whether or not you're going to get people to support you. You have the numbers. But you don't have all of the rights to do what you do. It's a form of disrespect. This idea of the chat is kind of like what you did with governance. Okay, we don't have the numbers, so we're just going to close down governance. You did that. Did you ever open it again? I don't know, because I was one of the ones on governance, and I haven't been invited to do that. I have been on the cab, but this is the first time in 4 years that I'm in leadership. I'm the chair. But before, I was never the chair. I always gave it to the public, which is what the Community Advisory Board is supposed to be representing. But this last thing, this last vote, was unnecessary. The chat is a place where people who can't talk because of either time or it's not their turn or they're out of order, have a right to this particular technology. Because not saying it, not being heard, is unacceptable. It's unacceptable to me not to have it, to even know when something's coming up that you might not be able to say in the group because the agenda is long, or you didn't have time for it. That chat is a part of communications. And how do we counter when a motion's intention is to stop people from communicating? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. And even when people were voting to stop the chat, they were saying because ugly things are said. Well, ugly things are done. And they are done to people who don't have the same equity as you do with the numbers in your corner. And you don't really even talk about the situations and the problems with it. You use gaslighting basically to say, you're the problem. I'm not the problem. But if you can't work with people on either side of the aisle, the agreements that you're making are to be obstructionists. You're obstructing what the station can be. I'm a marketing person. I'm a damn good marketing person. I've worked for politicians. I've worked for big companies. I know what it's like to use social media. We just had a Martin Luther King thing with the children. This is our fourth annual one. And it should have been on KPFT, but nobody returns my phone calls and nobody even responds to the things that I write. I have done a lot of work and gifting to KPFT since the day I came. I have people who are willing to come and support KPFT, but they don't want to help a station that is dehumanizing and rejecting and destroying other people. And you do a great job of it because you tell somebody an untruth and there's nobody that can counter for that untruth. You're sounding a lot like the Republican Party as far as I'm concerned.
I'm sorry, what did you just, is this open to the public? I'm confused about PK's.
No, it's not.
Is it part of the
open? No, we.
I'm public comment. I'm the public responder.
Oh, so sorry. I didn't know.
That's okay.
But even if I give a CAB report, you know, I speak my truth. I speak my peace. This is my work. This is the work that I do. I'm a conflict resolution person. I'm a mediator. I'm an anti-racist activist. But I'm a storyteller and I'm a Christian and I'm a person who believes in love more than hate, but more than that, that believes in giving everybody a voice. It can't just be your station. It's got to be our station. And until it becomes ours, it's never going to succeed. Never. It's going to always be these ups and downs. I think it's about time that, well, I will stop. I see the captain is up to make a statement as well. So I will give him the floor.
Thank you, PK. Captain Tom?
Chair? Captain Tom is the chair of the outreach committee. I mean, and
he
committee
is not
report.
A member of the board. PK is the chair of the CAB.
No, I'm saying Captain Tom is the chair of the outreach, and we have outreach reports later on.
And we have a CAB report as well, but he's not an elected member of the board.
Can we let Captain Tom to speak, please?
Captain Tom.
Thank you, Adriana. Thank you, Nancy, for your comment. PK, I agree with you 110%. And everybody on this board needs to start working together. This in-house fighting has got to stop. If you cannot agree on a issue, you cannot agree on the agenda, you cannot agree on the minutes, do something about it, change it, take it to a vote, and have a smooth meeting. I mean, it's ridiculous. You want to argue with a chair of a committee or board, it's unethical. It violates Robert's Rules of Order. Excuse me, Mr. Gardner. I have the floor, sir. Once again, I'm going to point out that you're going to argue with a chair of a board, you're arguing with a chair of a committee, then it violates Robert's Rules of Order. It violates constitutional bylaws of Pacifica. It's just that simple. I don't have a problem with any of my committee members. And I welcome anybody on this board to be a part of the outreach committee. That's all I have.
Thank Thank you very much, Captain Tom. If you wouldn't mind putting your hand down, and are there any other members of the public who wish to speak during public comment? Just be advised that board members are not to respond during this time. I see that we do have several members of the public in the meeting. Now is your golden opportunity to speak up and make your voice heard.
Madam Chair, I have an option to offer.
Yes, ma'am. I was just about to ask for suggestions.
Yeah, that we clock in where we are now, that and how much public comment time has been given, that we take the IGM's report and then return to public comment if there are any people who want it, do the next piece of business and return to comment, to public comment until we exhaust the full 30 minutes.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. Are there any objections to moving forward with our agenda? With the understanding that we will circle back around if someone shows up for public comment.
Point of information, request yes. for information. Who's yes. going to be watching if other people are coming in?
I can see it on my screen. I can see it on my screen.
And they cannot say in the chat that they want to be on public comment. I mean, they have no way to communicate.
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes, Teresa, can you answer that question?
Can guests raise their hands?
Yes. My understanding is that they can. It looks to me like they can. PK had her hand up. I'm moving the agenda.
I'm on a computer. And that's easier right. sometimes than people on a phone.
Yes.
And it's that kind of inequity that makes not having the chat a necessary tool for public comment.
We will address this again. Thank you. IGM report.
Thank you. Hope everybody can hear me clearly. First, hey, it's January. Did anybody say Happy New Year? Happy New Year. In a few weeks, the station will be 53 years old, so we survive. It looks like we are going to survive till our 53rd birthday, by all reckoning at this moment, which is a great thing. So thanks, everybody, that have pitched in and continue to pitch in to power KPFT, and there are a whole lot of people. Since we last met, we went through the month of December, and both our Giving Tuesday campaign produced a little over 96% of its goal, 98% of its goal, $9,640,000 of a $10,000 goal. The November-December or quiet drive, if you will, produced $63,444. Our goal was 50. So we went over by around 22%. We've begun planning for our next fund drive because it never does cease. Although if we do it right, hopefully one day we'll get down to two fund drives and that will be about all of it. More to come on that as time goes by. But for February, our target's $150,000. We begin February 3rd. So keep that in mind. And I'm sure you're going to have your head full of promos as Howard and company are working very hard to prepare Robin for the fund drive. Also, we have some new premiums coming up and hopefully this will help us attract funding dollars as well. Two new schedules were launched on January 1st for both HD1 and HD2. They're off and running. I want to thank Nancy for recognizing how strong the HD2 schedule is, and it will become even stronger with time and become a very competitive space in the not-too-distant future. I'm very proud that, you know, we put out the call on the air. We put it on the website for programmers and programs to submit to pdkpft@gmail.com, their ideas, their demos, and get the conversation started. And many, many people have stepped forward. I'll talk about programming later, but the schedules were launched. And I also want to thank each and every one of the on-air volunteers that were so gracious in accepting this plan and moving forward with it enthusiastically. Marlo Blue, who is the program coordinator, she's currently working with John Amella. John is our FCC guru, keeps Pacifica on course in terms of FCC filings and our licenses in good order. And part of that responsibility is a quarterly report to the FCC, which is truly hand-created. It could be made easier, and we're working to make it easier. But for right now, Marlo has shouldered a good bit of that burden, and we successfully submitted that report for the first quarter. So that's a good thing to bring that skill in-house. It hasn't been in-house for I don't know how long. Howard Reynolds continues to sit in his little desk cubby of technology and records volunteers left and right, programmers left and right. You're hearing a lot of PSAs about various things, and Howard's a guy that's recording it and editing it. If you look at our website, we have videos now posted at the bottom. I think 5 in-studio performances are posted up there. Again, that's thanks to the magic of the Mevo streaming cameras that were purchased during the build-out phase and Howard's editing skills, who takes the audio from the board and syncs it with the video. So you're getting a pretty pristine video as a result. So thank you, Howard, for all that hard work. If you look at our website, it's been a problem for a long time. It's not perfect, but we now have the ability to do posts from our desks a lot more easily and keep the thing current. We're getting some different content on there, rotating content. It'll be more dynamic, and soon we'll have embedded video from YouTube to that website just as soon as we figure that one out. Don't ask me when. We continue to have a parade of people coming through the building most every day, mostly in the mornings for training on the board and on the phones. We have several board ops that have come on board with us. And some days we have as many as 15, 16 people in the building in the morning because of the traffic that's been created. So it's a good thing. Things are very much alive at 4504 Caroline Street. We're accepting underwriting. If you go to our website and you hover above the thing that says community radio, there's a pull-down menu. The last option is become a sponsor. Both programmers and organizations are starting to step up, express a lot of interest. We haven't created a lot of revenue yet. Robin just told me she was working with somebody else to get another PSI on an underwritten condition 2 days ago. So we're getting a dribble of revenue that way. I would estimate somewhere around $1,400, $1,500 a month. I have to take stock of that. But it's a growing idea and one I think that can be very helpful as we unfold 2023. We have an offer from a building owner in Galveston who operates a tavern at 25th and Post Office, I want to say. I'm going to be going down there Friday to check it out. Mo Thomas will be coming on Sunday. He, along with Stuart, are working to reinstall the 50-watt repeater on Galveston Island in this location. We'll have to see what infrastructure is available, and based on that, we can make a final determination of the viability of the location. But at least the location itself is free. So good news. Hopefully we'll have our 50-watt transmitter on Galveston Island restored shortly. We're going to be having a programmers meeting next week, also an on-air IGM report on Wednesday next week at noon. So big week next week for updates for programmers right before the fund drive. And another very important point that they're going to hear about, and I'm going to talk about in a little bit, is a food drive. Stuart Nance has taken the lead along with Mo on getting that HD2 studio in order. I'm pretty sure that Bill Crozier will be along for the ride, and Mo Thomas arrives Sunday. He'll be here for a week solid, and they'll be banging away at that. The carpeting is already installed, and today I purchased two computers for that studio. So we're off and running, and it won't be long before we have two broadcast studios, both FM, both high definition, coming right out of that Caroline Street building. Our streaming cameras have been used several times. If you go to the KPFT Facebook page, you can see the results of programs that have been streamed. It's still in its infancy. I don't think anybody's really figured out how to use this quite yet, except for maybe in-studio performances, and then there are audio challenges. If you stream it simultaneously with the video, it's not going to be quite in sync, but you'll get a better idea of just the audio from the camera. In terms of programming, it's been a very exciting couple weeks. We've launched several new programs. Tom Richards and Ronnie Renfro, a.k.a. R&R, are on every day, Monday to Friday, 2 to 4. And the audience response has been terrific. The numbers during that shift have come up significantly. Pacifica Business Talk with John Henry is on Thursdays at noon. And again, he'll be on tomorrow. This is a show that's supposed to focus on Houston business issues, employment issues, and mostly call-in, hoping that people that look for a job can call in and tell everybody on the air what they're looking for. You never know when a miracle might happen. Inner Kids Neighborhood, Saturday morning at 6 a.m. for now. I say for now because Marcus French has already proven that he can produce some really wonderful programming. For those of you not up 6 a.m. Saturday morning to turn on KPFT, check it out on the archive. I got to tell you, not only will you learn some really good jokes, but you'll really appreciate the delivery that Marcus has. He's a school teacher, and yet musically, he knows his music. So you put the two together, it's a pretty educational ride. Elevator Prozac with Clay Brazier. Clay was, he's been on board with KPFT almost to the day as long as I have, going back to the Dead Air days on Friday nights in the late 90s. And he's agreed to do a prog rock show. Again, his numbers are solid. He's gotten some pledges already, so looking pretty good. And last but not least, Boyd Bluestein has shouldered the Sunday morning 6 to 8 a.m. slot, doing Blues Cats Lounge, and is carrying on with a proud KPFT tradition of providing great blues music. Speaking of which, great blues music. Don't forget Clint Broussard, who's been added to the Sunday night lineup. So recapping everything, we really beefed up Saturday and Sunday. We've moved on from Larry Winter's Spare Change program, except for the fact that we're going to have a Montrose Beer and Gun Club Thumb Drive Premium during our next drive. And I want to just mention, thank you, Larry. I know you're still listening, and it will reverberate for a long, long time. According to a website called Radio Insight, all one word, Radio Insight, we have a cumulative listenership of 74,200. They are tracking what is on the Nielsen ratings, exactly. They just present it in a format that's a little easier to read for me. So we need to get that up, that number up, but watch that metric as we go forward. CUM, C-U-M, cumulative listenership. Links to the new schedules, by the way, can be found on the website. In terms of community outreach, Di Conkling has stepped up. Di has been assisting Bayou Brew and other programs and been a phone volunteer for years. She works with the homeless and many of the pro bono charities around town. Di immediately jumped in when I mentioned food drive. Before the word drive was out of my mouth, she had the poster, the boxes, everything set up. So I want to thank her. And from the 25th to the 29th, we will be collecting food at KPFT. And if you can't bring food, bring a $20 bill. And this has been defending the Manna Food Pantry of the Third Ward. They're our neighbors. They're three blocks away. So we're trying to get more involved with the community immediately. And I hope we can do more things of this nature as 2023 unfolds. So food drive 125 to 129. That's a Wednesday to a Sunday. The Saturday and Sunday, weather permitting, we're going to try to set a table out front with one of our little pop-up tents and maybe a microphone and hopefully get some people that come in and ask them why they're there or why they may enjoy KPFT. We'll see what happens. It'll be pretty spontaneous. Markeisha Van Zandt reported on January 6th that we had $117,846.48 in the bank. Don't forget, about $40,000 of that is restricted funds. It's grant money from the Brown Foundation. So our net balance that is optional to spend is that $117,846 less that $40,000. Okay. If you recall last month, if you keep track of these things, our balance was about $124,000. So we had a great December drive. Why did it go down? Went down because we paid not one, not two, but 3 months of central services in January, $34,500 from the KPFT bank account went into central services. It's a lot of money, but guess what? Our arrears to central services are $175,000. So we have a long way to go. Only KPFT and WPFW contributed to central services in January. The other three Pacific stations took a pass. Our credit card balance, which I inherited on July 1, which was approximately $23,000, is now paid down to $11,768. And by April 1, we're hopeful of zeroing out that balance. We've been paying at least $5,000 a month toward getting that done. When we get it done, we'll have an additional $5,000 a month to address our immediate needs with the station. A letter of intent went into the Olive Hershey Foundation today. Today was the deadline. I spoke to Ms. Hershey yesterday about possible grant money toward an environmental program, environmental affairs, dubbed environmental impact, if you will. There's much work to do. This is a letter of interest. If the Hershey Foundation board considers it worthy, they'll get back to us and ask us for more information, and we can begin the grant process. I've requested a two-year, $15,000 per year, or $30,000 grant from the Hershey Foundation. Robin Lewis has appended her report to mine, which was distributed. I'll take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Look at us paying our bills. And it's so cool. And it's all, it's all linked together. The sorting out of the programming and the increased revenue and all of it. It is just, wonderful. Really good to hear. Just for a moment, it's 8:27. Everybody who can look and see if there's anybody wanting to be in public comment. Ladies and gentlemen, listening audience, we are still technically in our public comment period, and we'd love to hear from any member of the public that would like to speak at this time before we ask questions of the general manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak during public comment? Trying to be fair. All right. Any questions for Mr. Weinman? You can put up your virtual hand. You can put up your real hand. You can wave. Anybody? Left to my own devices, I will continue to tell him what a great job he's doing. And Adriana has her hand up. Hi, Adriana. Go ahead. Ask Sandy a question.
Hi. Thank you, Sandy. I don't know when you sent that report in writing, because I know that you sent it, but I cannot find it. If you tell me the day, I can check there. But the question is, do you know how many, I don't know if you say it already, how many members, pay members do we have now?
Sure. I think I can answer that. I sent the report last Monday, I believe. According to Robin's report, our membership count on January 8th was 2,401, 2,401.
Thank you. And the not second.
Enough. Not enough.
I know. We need to keep, but you know, when we have more listeners, we will have obviously more members, we hope. I have a second question because, you know, for whatever reason, we have the, I don't know, that invention of the LSV of the hiatus. You have, we have no finance committee meetings, no governance committee meetings, no MSLC committee meetings. Do you think that if I, at some point in time, I stop by the station, you maybe have some of the financial numbers that is our obligation at LSV, but we don't have that committee going on. Do you think that I can get some of the numbers if I stop by? I don't want to go in a day that, you know, bothers you. I know that I don't know how to solve that issue because that's why we're supposed to have finance committee meeting, but we don't, you know.
Well, thank you. First off, I am also concerned about numbers and tracking numbers and looking at our budget and making sure we're following the plan that we all agreed to. I asked Markeisha just the end of last week when we were going to get the closeout on the first quarter. It takes a little time to do this, usually about a month, and they're working on it. And as soon as we get that, that'll be the first yardstick for 2023, Adriana. I don't have it yet, but when we get it, I think we should all see it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. Thank you. Marianne?
Hi, Sandy. You mentioned something about a food drive, and I'm not sure I got the dates and what exactly it is that you're needing.
Okay. First, what were the dates that are of collection are from the 25th of January, which is a Wednesday, to the 29th. There's going to be a email sent to everybody with the official food bank link and all the information on it. I know you have a lot of questions. What we're asking for are shelf stable foods or a donation of at least of a value of at least $20 or a cash donation of $20. And of course, if it's $2 million, that would be accepted too. So the 25th to the 29th, shelf stable foods.
Well, I'm sure
bring them to the station.
That's
just drive them down there.
Right. We have collection boxes that again, Di Conkling. Got those boxes set up. We've got one set up in the entryway right now. And the PSA started to run on Monday. So you're going to hear those. I think about 7 or 8 people recorded from the same script. So you're going to hear the same words from a lot of different people.
I was just going to say, Sandy, you probably wouldn't turn it away if it was less than $20 worth either.
Probably
that's
not.
Just a target.
It's just a target.
It's a good target.
A suggested donation. That's correct. Yes. Thank you.
Teresa.
Okay. So, if a person can't get to the station, can they give on their phone? If they're on the road, for example, or passing through or something like that?
Again, when the flyer goes out, there are specific links, I think, for that, Teresa. It's a good question. The Houston Food Bank actually produces the flyer that you're going to see. We give them information and then they take that information and they make it our event for them. But they have a standard format, which you're going to see. Okay.
Okay. So my second question is, when you talked about membership, those are family units. So some of those might include more than one person. So we have more than 2,400 donors to the station. We might actually have more like 5,000. Right?
Well, correct? That's a number in Robin's report. So that's what I'm reporting to you. Okay?
To me, when Robin gives that report and when she talks to us in development meeting and she gives that number, those are a unit, could be two people in a household giving. So that number could be significantly higher than that number. Just wanted you to know. My third question is, and I thank you for all your hard work. I know that there are some stations in this foundation who are not paying allegiance. They are not paying for health insurance for their employees. They are not paying their national office fees. Are we paying these? Are we specifically, are we paying our national office fees?
As I said, Teresa, we paid 3 months of central services. That is what you're asking about specifically. We paid $34,500 in January towards central services. For the year, I think we only covered 6 months of the 12. So
when you say year, you mean starting?
Well, actually, I take that back. For the fiscal year, we only covered 3 months of the 12. So we're starting out this fiscal year by paying our first quarter entirely.
Thank you.
Wow. Good.
But yeah, I mean, again, this would be $11,500 a month would be our single biggest expense. And we've been pretty close to cash neutral based on the numbers I've been reading to you. You see the bank balance is stable. That's cash neutral. But we, again, we have a long way to go and we have a lot of threats. I should also add that our taxes will be paid in full before this month is up. So we'll be in good shape with the city, and we're working with a Texas state representative, much like Mike Martin had connections. And I brought the issue to him. I need a document to give him, and I'm hoping they can wordsmith it. So again, we can be tax exempt. We'll see Thank how you. We fare on that. Sure.
Okay. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen.
Just one last thing. To those that want to come down, I'm there most every day, Monday through Saturday. My show is on Saturday, so I'm there Saturdays too. And I'm usually there by about 9 o'clock in the morning, and depending on the afternoon, I may be gone at 1 o'clock. I may be gone at 7 o'clock in the evening. And to all those coming to the area, I should point out that just on Monday, unfortunately, there was a homicide 2 doors down. I spoke to the police. It was a stabbing. It was reported as a shooting. It was a stabbing, single puncture wound. And it was one of the homeless folks that are in the immediate area that they identified. So be careful. You know, when you come down, we have security lighting, but we also have a roll gate. And if the center swing gate is locked, you may want to call the station, the studio itself, and inform somebody you're on the way in and to look out for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Are there any other questions for Sandy before we move on? Great report, Sandy. and last call for public comment. We're going to close out public comment here in a couple of seconds. It is 8:37 PM. I don't see any members of the public. I don't see any phones that I don't recognize. Adriana, do you have a question for Sandy, or is that an old hand?
No, it's a new one. And I'm thinking that something that we normally do, but in this case we didn't, I want the new member really to have a few minutes to talk to us. Some of you know him, but we don't. And normally we have the option of the new member to talk to the board, and I would love for him to give him a few minutes to address us, to talk.
That is a great suggestion, Adriana. I will, if there's anybody has any objections to doing this right this minute before as we close out public comment. Thank you, Adriana, for bringing that to my attention. It's something that I should have put on the agenda and did not. I know his name was mentioned last month, but because of technical difficulties, he wasn't able to join us. So Bob Locander, would you like to introduce yourself and give us about 2 minutes of?
Okay. Yeah. Let me just mention that I've been a long time listener to KPFT, and I've got a closet full of t-shirts from contributing to the station. And I ran in the last election just out of the blue. I heard a call for help. I had read some articles in the Chronicle about the station's financial situation. And so I threw my hat in the ring. When I realized that there were boatloads of candidates, I went ahead, because I'm a guy who feels like you should finish off things. And I just filled out all the candidate questionnaires and information, but I didn't cut a little statement. And then I know that there have been a few vacancies on the board. It's kind of next man up sort of thing. And so when I got contacted, I mentioned that I'd be happy to serve on the board. I recently retired after 40 years from being out at Lone Star College North Harris. I'm basically kind of a classic academic with graduate degrees from the University of Illinois, PhD from the University of New Mexico, with some colleagues that published two books on Texas politics. And just to kind of finish you off, I've had a lot of experience on boards, all the way from being on a union executive board. I was basically on a Catholic school board. I was vice president of the Harris County MUD. I was a civic club president in the Greens Point area where my kids grew up. And I was actually also an executive board of the Alvine Little Leagues. I've had a lot of board service, and I know as a new board member, I just kind of want to sit and learn and watch and gather information. And I'm kind of pleased to accept the remainder of the term that I'm filling with the promise that I will not be running for election, but I will finish out the term and do the best that I can and offer my volunteer help in where I can.
Great. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Bob? Easy ones? Easy? Yeah. It's his first day. You know?
It's 41. It's a real world of Texas politics, one of the books that you are talking about.
Right. Along with Kevin Bailey, who was an 18-year member of the Texas House of Representatives, and Richard Shaw, who for years was Secretary Treasurer of the Harris County AFL-CIO, the three of us authored a book for college students back in 2017 entitled How Texas Politics Really Works. As we went on, we went forward and decided to write a book for general citizens, general readers. That book was recently published by Stony Creek Publishing Group in July or August of this year. It's kind of a related title. It's called The Real World of Texas Politics. So we've been doing a few book signings and attending a few book festivals, but kind of enjoyed the last 4 or 5 years with the writing process. But as I promised my wife, no more books. I just read books now, and I'm not going to write anymore. But I've enjoyed the process.
Yeah, I think that I recognize your name. That's why I ask you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're honored to have you on board. Okay, we are down to item 7. I'm glad we are certainly not addressing anything confrontational this meeting. Nominations for the PNB committees. And I'm going to turn this over to Susan Young as one of our PNB reps. I know that she can explain it better than I can. And so she's going to describe for us what these committees are and how the nominees are going to be selected. Take it away, Susan.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate that Nancy has added in information about the task forces. So there are several committees at the national level where only the PNB members participate. One of those is a coordinating committee that has the officers and then a PNB member from each station, and they coordinate the agenda from meeting to meeting. Another one is personnel, which is responsible for personnel evaluation, and also one of the things that they checked out was what is the way that we provide for financial management when NIDA resigned. Another one is strategic planning. And strategic planning was set up by Pacifica National Board that was there in 2021, and it was set up in order to consider ways that the FJC loan could be retired. I will say that there was limited success in that, but it has continued. There are some legacy members on that board specified in a PNB action, and then there is a representative from each of the stations. There are several committees on which, oh, and then National Finance. And National Finance has a member from each of the stations, plus an LSB, the treasurer from each of the stations. So Sean was the treasurer last year, served on it, is the treasurer again going forward, will serve on it. I served on it last year. If I am returned to the PNB, I will be one of the candidates to serve on that. Then there are several committees that have a representative from each station and have two or three representatives from the local station boards. So those are audit and programming. Sorry for having to remind myself here. Audit, programming, and elections, and then the Committee of Inclusion. Committee of Inclusion has one PNB member and then three LSB members on it, and it is a local committee specified in the bylaws. The others have one station member and then two local station board members from each station. We have these listed tonight for nominations, and I believe the chair sent out a request for people to consider nominating themselves. There are also task forces. One of them that has been very active has been the Development Task Force. It has been chaired by Beth Von Gunten from KPFK, and who's also been the vice chair. And there is a technology task force. I don't know how active they've been. There is an affiliates task force. And then there are a number of others, which I believe have been dormant. So are there any questions? I see Adriana.
go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. You explained it. Yeah, it's in the bylaws. It's interesting if the board read the bylaws. My problem with this is we don't have yet the directors. Like you explained, the LSB select members that are not, because the PNB select the members that go to the committees. But the LSB select the members that are not directors. That's why I think that it's a little bit premature to select people to committees that we don't know who the directors will be. I know that all of you think that obviously you will win and you will go there, but I hope that we can follow the right, you know, rules and wait till we have directors. And then after having directors, we can select our members from our LSB. Thank you.
That is a good question. Go ahead, Susan. Can you answer?
Yeah, Madam Chair, may I respond? One of the problems that I saw last year was it took us 3 months to get committees activated. So there has been a desire on the PNB to be able to move forward as quickly as possible. I believe that the selection of LSB members, or I should say the election of LSB members, I wouldn't think of it as being influenced by who the directors are who would serve on those committees. I would think it would be reflective of what your personal passions are. So I would not make the choice if it were, Ted's back.
Hi, Ted.
On the basis of Adriana or Marianne or Egberto or Teresa, as far as the committee to be involved in, I would make the choice on the basis of what I feel have expertise about and really care about. So this is an effort by all of the stations to get the whole process underway faster. Adriana is absolutely right. Only when the directors are seated and we understand that we will have the results of our election midnight, the computation or the election is closed as of midnight tonight. And then, as Adriana said, because she has served on the PNB, the PNB elects the directors who are on each committee. In, for some stations, those are competitive. Two people want to serve or three people want to serve on the same committee, and the PNB decides that. Last year, the KPFT reps, we all agreed on which committees we wanted to serve, and so we had none of our candidacies were competitive.
Thank you, Susan, but that wasn't my question.
I answered the question, which was, what should the directors go first, or what I understood the question to be, and should we hold off on the LSB election?
May I explain? I know that my accent is sometimes is difficult to understand what I'm trying to ask. What I'm trying to say is, members, you are talking about selecting members that we don't know if some of the members will be directors. Then what the LSB select is just members. The directors are out of that question.
Right.
That was my point. Till we decide the directors, we cannot decide the rest.
So
the second thing you are talking about, the PNB being so, I hope that is true, but look at our station. We have three basic committees of this board that are being in hiatus. We don't have the information. They don't work. I hope that the PNB is working on that too. Thank you.
If I may respond.
You can respond, and I was going to play back what I was going to try to rephrase what I thought Adriana's question was, but you go ahead. You may be ahead of me.
Yeah, Adriana.
What?
Point of personal privilege.
Go ahead, Ted.
Can I be recognized as attending in terms of the minutes of tonight's meeting?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, so no, you're right, Adriana. I did not understand your question, and it is absolutely valid. So a suggestion about how to deal with this would be to hold the nominations. Any of us who were running for the PNB should include our names for committees on which we wish to serve, and that the nominations be held open until the director positions have been announced.
And just to elaborate on that, what I thought I heard the question, and maybe I'm wrong, was that if someone was on a committee as a member and then became a director, would they be, which position would they then hold? Or did I just add way too much to that?
Yeah. No, I think the point she's making is there are five of us who might become directors.
Okay.
And so we would be on committees by virtue of being directors.
Right.
So should any of the five of us also be running as members to fill the LSB positions, because we don't know who's going to be a director?
Right.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Where'd she go?
I'm still here. That's why it's a strength that we are trying to do this, because we should hold a meeting when we know what we are doing. Like, this is guessing. Just, oh, well, then I will change. You know, I hope that we can work better, because even we can do our nominations by email. And in the next meeting, if we don't have enough people, I mean, why we are playing this guessing game now? That is what I don't understand. Tonight, like Susan said, we will have the result of the directors, and from there, we can decide, send an email to the chair saying, I want to be in the committee, and that's it. I don't know. We can do it now. You prefer to do it now? It's up to the body. I mean, that's okay. I was just asking.
Madam Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I would just like to respond, and I know that Nancy is on the stack.
Yes.
Frankly, I think what Adriana is recommending makes sense. And so keep the nominations open. We'll know who will be the directors. And, if there are more than one nomination per slot, go ahead and move it forward to Terry Goodman so that the ballots can be tabulated. And as Adriana says, if we don't have enough people who are nominated for a particular committee, we can go out and encourage people to run. So I'm agreeing with Adriana.
Okay. And now my only question I have is there any, are we doing anything at all tonight? Are we to do like a hybrid thing where we'll put some nominations up tonight, but then hold it open, or we're just going to hold it?
Richard's got his hand up. He's got an idea. And then Nancy and Teresa.
Yeah. Richard.
Let me get unmuted there. I would be willing to move to postpone this until next meeting.
I second.
My bad. Can you hold your motion until Nancy and Teresa ask their questions? Richard, are you willing to do that?
Sure.
Thank you. Nancy.
Yes. The task force. Last year, we made the mistake of not even asking our board if they wanted to volunteer for a task force. So there were almost no task force active last year, except the technology was meeting. And so I would like, may I just announce what the task forces are?
Sure.
Okay. The first one is archives, if you're interested in the archives. They have not met in a long time, and I would like to see them meet, even if it's just once or twice every 2 or 3 months or even 4 months, but we ought to meet the archives. The other one, and this has no election. These task force are not elected positions. I mean, you just volunteer. But the secretary of the LSB must send the volunteer's name and contact information, their emails, to the PMB secretary and to the IT engineer Otis, so he can put the next meeting,
which is in 3 weeks.
Teresa, can you mute?
You're not muted.
I mean, please mute. And so that Otis can put their names in the committees, and they get automatic reminders, which helps them to remember when to come. And so if you don't have those emails to Otis putting them in that task force, then nothing happens. And that's what happened last year. And I don't think we were the only station that forgot to do this. So please, remember, if you want to serve in some of these task force, you do not need to be elected. You just need to tell Richard, our secretary, that you want to be in there. Okay. Archives is one. The affiliates, those are 200, affiliate, roughly 200 all over the United States. A few are in Europe, some in the Caribbean, one in Alaska, two or three in Alaska. Anyway, these are the affiliate stations. Next is elections, you know, improving reform of elections. There was talk of having elections on odd years. So we're not in competition with the national elections of our country. Instead of having them on even years. And also we were talking about extending the tenure to 4 years instead of a 3-year tenure of LSBs. That would give one more year of understanding and one more year of experience. And then we could save money on elections. Okay. The next one is bylaw revisions. Oh, we always need that. Always need that. A bylaw revisions. And they report to the National Governance Committee, which I think, I'm not sure if Susan mentioned it, but we have on the National Committee's Governance Election Audit Programming. Okay. And then the other one is technology, which has been meeting, last year. And, that we need to go into the multimedia expansion of our whole network. We need to get visual to have the youth even look at us. And we can put captions. We can put translations captions on there and have international audiences. All right. And development, of course, was already mentioned. So there's 6 task forces to think about. That's all. Thank you. Back to you.
Thank you very much. Teresa, you have your hand up.
Well, as you could probably tell, can you hear me? My question was the same thing that Richard brought up. We should probably postpone nominations for these national task forces and national committees for 3 weeks until our February meeting. Thank you.
Richard has made a motion to postpone this vote.
In a second.
And we're waiting for, Adriana seconds the motion. Are there any objections to Richard's motion to postpone? Hearing no objections, the motion is passed by acclamation. Thank you all for being so fabulously cooperative and doing your homework. Okay, Pacifica National Board reports. And did we almost covered that, didn't we, Susan? Oh, wait, you're muted. Babe, you're muted.
We have several reports. Why don't I lead off with mine if Teresa and Marianne don't mind? I serve on, and thank you, whoever, I guess it was Nancy who brought up the governance committee, which I forgot to mention. I serve on national finance and strategic planning. And strategic planning was set up in 2021 to come up with strategies to retire the loan that was secured from FJC. You may recall that our building was sold and a portion of the proceeds were used to pay off a portion of the FJC loan. I will say that a number of ideas were brought forward. None of them have really been successful. And the Strategic Planning Committee has again focused on revenue opportunities primarily, and I will say with limited success. One of the ideas was holding a national fund drive. The first idea was to support the archives, which was barely making payroll. And we only generated $30,000. There were several other ideas that were about national fund drives that never came to fruition, I think because the ideas were not connected to management and staffs. Another idea was non-fungible tokens, and it wasn't clear what the copyright issues were for the archives, which would be tokenized. And then we had the collapse of the Bitcoin market. Another one was a private placement bond. And there are all kinds of securities issues around that. I was in investment banking. I didn't view that as being a viable, product. And then we, spent a great deal of time in more than one committee about ethical underwriting. And the board approved the recommendation out of the Strategic Planning Committee to initiate a pilot program, beginning basically in the middle of last year. And there are outlines for that for everybody. KPFT was already proceeding on that. And, there's not been a national restriction that those could not go forward. Perhaps the most important thing that the Strategic Planning Committee did was we had conversations about cash insolvency, which is the situation in which we find ourselves. And this became very clear when the executive director was putting out a memo to all general managers that we might not be able to make payroll through the next 2 weeks. And we basically have been on the cusp of payroll every 2 weeks, and they are balancing payments that are in arrears to various vendors and other critical things like, you know, healthcare. And so when that became apparent that it was real and immediate and urgent, the Strategic Planning Committee said, we've got to sell
assets, and either the KPFK building, or properties, I should say, because it includes, you know, what the land is, or the, KPFA building, KPFK or KPFA were brought up because KPFT just went through a purchase. It's sort of like we would have a double haircut for having purchased it and for having sold it. And ours is the least valuable property, so it yields the fewest resources. On the basis of that, the national board authorized the ED and the general counsel to open discussions and negotiations with realtors in both LA and in Berkeley. Because the LA property is only 20% occupied, and because the building is in bad shape, and because it will yield higher revenues, higher net proceeds, that is the property that has first priority. Please note that the debt that we have and the payments in arrears to critical vendors like the power company in Los Angeles are such that it will be hard to retire all of the debts that we have just from selling the KPFK building, and we do not have a timeline on it. I mean, it's just however fast we can get it done at a price that we think is the best that we can get. Use of proceeds will be a question, because there needs to be money to reset up KPFK and the archives, which are both housed in that building, and to pay for elections, and to retire a portion or all of the FJC loan, and to bring more of our payables current. So that's the situation that we face. One of the ideas that has been brought up is signal swaps. The two signals that have the greatest value are in Los Angeles and in New York. A signal swap, that's where we take a more valuable signal that Pacifica has and trade it for a less valuable signal, be able to capture the difference in value. Those take a long time, and people, all of us prefer to not do that. So, rebuilding, restructuring the company's business is essential, and using proceeds from sales to help do that has to be a priority. Nancy has brought up perhaps one of the most important things, which is multi-platform and reaching younger audiences. And Sandy talking about having cameras in the station is one of the tools for doing that. I'm sorry Egberto is not on the call. He is a part of a team that's looking at what has been called hybridization. And that is, how do we set ourselves up to do podcasting, YouTube, and all the various other media, which, you know, go out of favor from time to time. There are several programmers around the system who are already good at that, including Egberto and Alexa in LA. So bringing those folks together to focus on what is the national central distribution capability that is needed, and how can programmers across the system set themselves up to do this, is viewed as one of the most promising options. Another is monetizing the archives. And someone that we're talking to was Steve Powers. He was a candidate for the job that Stephanie got. He's a big multimedia guy who basically got his start at KPFA and having folk music on KPFA. So Egberto was helping to lead that charge. The National Finance Committee has been traditionally the place where budgets are adopted for the seven units. The seven units are actually the five stations, the archives, the affiliates, and the central office. And the central office covers things like accounting and, frankly, legal bills, which are terrible. And we have last year, when the NFC, when the National Finance Committee met, we adopted a bunch of basically deficit budgets because the stations are not covering their own bills. KPFT this year was the first station to have its budget in. Next one up is WBAI. Ours showed a balanced budget, and we are making our budget in the first months of the new calendar year. And the National Finance Committee is the place where we have the executive director brief us every meeting at the start of the meeting. Can we make payroll? What are the critical payments that need to be made? How is money coming from the stations to match those? What are the revenues at each of the stations, and how can they be enhanced? Regarding the stations, as Sandy already mentioned, KPFA has positive revenues. KPFT and WPFW are basically revenue neutral. WBAI owes $1 million in central services payments. That's one of the reasons why Nita, the financial manager, quit. And KPFK is in a serious trouble, both from the standpoint of kind of its governance legitimacy, based on the whole New Day thing going back, and then the current extensions of terms that they are disputing. And then they lost something like 40% of their revenues and listenership over some recent period of time. So they're in real trouble. Both KPFT and KPFK currently have volunteer interim general managers. So that's the end of my report for that. Maybe Teresa wants to talk about elections and personnel.
Are you ready? Okay. The personnel committee of the national board met July through September, and they ended up sending as you can tell, since they started in July, they got a very slow start, and they missed the opportunity to evaluate our executive director during her probationary period. And then we were told not to meet, and we're going to hit the ground running moving forward. During that period of time, Netta, who was providing some personnel services to us, left, and there were a number of personnel issues that needed to be dealt with by our executive director. So I'm really looking forward to the personnel committee meeting. The responsibilities of the personnel committee would be to do searches for the executive director or CFO, and also to evaluate those two top positions. Because of the money issues that have developed in this past year, we could not afford Netta. We could not afford a CFO. We could not afford elections. Many stations were not paying central services. From central services is the insurance for the directors, which is about $3,000 a month. And when you don't pay into central services, who pays that? Who pays our executive director? They have been borrowing from Peter to pay Paul when it comes to health care for our employees. Some stations have not been paying their rent. Some stations have not been paying their tower fees. Some stations are not paying their electricity. And so our executive director spends a lot of her time just negotiating these things. So, of course, we are hoping, of course, the sale of our station really helped to pay some of our debts, and the sale of the building at KPFK will probably help. There may be many reasons why you're hearing that we're selling that building, one of which is that the station only uses part of that building. Much of that building is unused. But that is where our archives are located. Some of our archives. Some of our stations are not paying allegiance. Allegiance is the software that handles our donors. So if we don't have access to Allegiance, we don't have any control over reaching people who have donated money. Royalties, some of these stations are behind in royalties. So that's just kind of what Susan said, much better than I could have, but that has seriously impacted elections. The National Elections Committee convened through July. I convened it, and then we had elections, and the person that was the chair of the committee, the committee decided by majority that we could not afford elections and kind of gave up on methods to raise enough money for our elections, which are very expensive, and they've gotten more and more expensive every year. So we have to have elections this coming year. It was not through any fault of myself or the two people who served from this local station board on the elections committee. We wanted to have the elections, and it just, you know, if there's a majority of people on that committee and also on the national board that don't want to have elections and say we can't afford it, obviously we had many serious monetary crises going on. So I'm just hoping that we will hit the ground running on that committee this year. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you. Okay, we've zipped through that. Now we are going to...
I have a few things to say.
Jake. I was going
to
say, oh, Marianne, thank you. Wait, no. Yeah, Marianne, there you are.
I'm sorry, but I won't be...
I'm sorry. I'm bad.
Not a problem. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of our board members, and you're all very awesome people. And I want to welcome all of our new board members, Mr. Locander, for one. And, I'm not sure if we have another one, but, anybody who's new onto this, board, welcome. And I hope that you hang with us. And, believe me, it does get better. And one of the things that I want to tell everyone about is a few items that were brainstormed with my sister, Susan. And here's a couple of items that I think you all need to know about. Well, first of all, let me say that I do serve on the governance committee, and unfortunately, I do not have a report about governance. We are in transition at the moment, and as you know, our good friend and wonderful person, Lawrence, passed away. He was the chair of governance. Godspeed, my brother, and we love you and we pray for you. And we're currently working on finding someone to take his place on that committee. But I do have a few items I'd like to share. And first of all, directors elections are being held at all stations. KPFT conducts its election at its LSB meeting on Saturday, January the 17th, and tabulates results by the end of the meeting. Now, KPFT voting continues until midnight tonight, and hopefully, oh yeah, Terry Goodman says we have met quorum. KPFK, the election itself is in dispute, so we'll see how that works out. WBAI has contested races. We will update you regarding the date of their election results. And WPFW has no contested races. The same four who served in 22 are on the ballot for 23. Two affiliate directors were elected in December. The new PNB will be seated on January the 26th meeting. The 2022 chair, Julie Hewitt, will preside until a chair is elected to serve for 2023. Election for officers takes place at that meeting. These are the chair, vice chair, and secretary. And the chair of the National Finance Committee is elected by that committee and serves in the role of treasurer. Okay, so PNB committees are to be convened and organized as soon as possible. But I see that we've delayed that. So hopefully we will get on this as soon as possible, maybe at our next meeting. I'm not sure what we determined, but one PNB director from each station serves on all committees and are nominated and elected by the PNB. Some committees only have PNB members serving on them, and we are electing our representatives. Well, we were going to elect our representatives tonight, but those committees are going to be coordinating personnel and strategic planning. The rest have LSB members elected to them by their LSBs, which are the audit, the elections, the governance, and the committee of inclusion. So think about serving on any of those committees. And when we have our elections, hopefully, you know, you'll find one that you like, and maybe I'll find a few that I like myself. Additionally, there are task forces with open participation. One was active in 2022 and development. It is possible that others will be activated, and we will try to keep everyone up to date on that. So basically, that's all I had to talk about. And thank you all for coming, and I appreciate what everyone does. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, all of you, each of you, for serving. Ted has, I think Adriana had her hand up first, and then Ted. No? Ted? Adriana, do you still have your hand up, or is that a new hand?
No, no, it's a new hand. Let Ted go.
Okay, great. Hi, Ted.
Hello. I would like to assert that the report we got from Susan Young, well, very accurate, left something out. And the numbers, if she has access to them, could attest to this. And that is that while our budget is we're online with our budget, but we have a very low ball budget. The money we're trying to raise in this market is way lower per capita than any other market in Pacifica. And it's only because we are operating on such a bare bones that we are able to live with our budget. Am I right? That's a rhetorical question. And let me point out that I played a role. I think I was the chair, at least for part of the time, for this, the committee that sold 419 Lovett Boulevard and led to the move. So, if anybody wants to cast aspersions, I did my part to try to help us financially. I'm done.
Thank you, Ted. Adriana? Questions for the PNB members?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I heard some things here that really worry me a lot. First of all, I'm sorry. I try not to speak my mind in an issue that bothers me a lot with people. You know, in Spanish, we have a phrase that when somebody died, we call that is, te llegó la hora de las alabanzas. It means that once that you die, people that hate you and fight you the whole time and call you names, that once that you are dead, they are praising you. I'm trying, you know, to be, not to speak my mind in that point, because I think that we all know the reality, but that's fine.
What I worry is you talk about selling buildings. I want everybody to remember that according to our bylaw and the California Corporation Code, we cannot sell assets that are important assets without, just with a board, a decision of a board that, on the other hand, is having violating every bylaw. They are self-serving. They are, some of them serve more than what the bylaw said that they could. And our bylaws only permit to change the bylaws with a process that we need to follow. And the PNB is not doing it. And more than that, it's threatening other, you know, stations that are trying to follow the bylaws. And letting go, you know, that one of the reasons why we are having all these problems is that we are paying for a bunch of lawsuits that are generated for a group of people that failed twice to dismember this foundation. And now they are acting like they don't know who they are. We all know who they are and who's still in our board that we are part of those groups. But it's a shame, you know, everything. I'm sorry, but you said that are some assets that are so important. Is anybody taking with KPFK and KPFA, are taking the same approach that with KPFT? We sell a building, but we reserve park, like having their own house, because if not, in a short period of time, those stations will be in the same situation that we have with WBAI. When don't have a house, they finish paying an amount that they don't have to have a building. And definitely, Susan, you cannot a swap of a radio station signal is the same, have the same effect that selling. And you cannot do that without the membership approval. I know that you believe that you can do whatever. Yeah, obviously you are doing it, but you can't. That was worrying me. And like I said, everybody worry about financials, all of that. But we, in our LSB, we are not having those meetings. We have those, we call it hiatus. I don't know where in the bylaw that is allowed, but we are not discussing what we are supposed to be doing. But I can hear that. And some of them are so sure. I hope that you know that you will be elected. You know, maybe more than anybody. But some of you are acting like, oh, yeah, I will be in this committee, that committee. I think that we should wait at least till tonight to be sure who are the directors. And I hope that the members vote their conscience. Thank you.
I think Susan was just reporting what was discussed in the meeting. She wasn't advocating a position, but your concerns are well taken.
I'm sorry. Chair, I'm sorry, but I know I'm not where I'm talking because I saw some of the motion that the PNP passed and who originated and who voted for it.
Okay.
I know what I'm talking about. Thank you.
And, Nancy, wait one second. Nancy had her hand up. Are you talking about the PNB reports? Nancy? You have a question or a comment on
this? Yes. Go ahead. Adriana did the... Yes. Before you sell a station, you need a membership. A membership vote. And membership is not to be ignored just because they don't know the rules or they don't know the bylaws. And this, I'm so disappointed in the four directors last year. You're running again and you voted to violate the bylaws by extending the 6-year limited term. I mean, that's there for a reason. You don't want incumbents having incumbent disease and staying on and on, but you've done that. And I'm all four of you, voted for it. Teresa, Susan, Marianne, and Egberto. Yes. I don't understand why you don't see that this is wrong. You have to have the agreement of three LSBs out of five stations LSBs. No, but you did it with a majority vote. And you know, if we're sued by anybody, we'll lose. Pacifica will lose and lose money. Anyway, you know what? I think I have the floor, Richard. Can you just be quiet? We have a very important election.
Orders of the day. I object to the attack.
We have a new
attack on another member.
No, no. These people represent me and I have a right.
Orders of the day.
You know what? I have the floor, Mr. McPherson.
Do you have a question?
Yes. Is the new member, Bob Locander, is he on the new LSB email list? Because if not, I think he needs to be added as immediately. And I think all five candidates for the listener PNB directorship should email him their speech, because he didn't hear anything. He just came today.
No, he didn't. He was here last month.
Last month?
No, he was
not at the meeting.
No, he was.
He was not attending the meeting. He was not on the email list.
Just a few days after the meeting.
And also, you know what, Richard? I wish you would stop doing that. I have the floor.
Well,
and
I call orders of the day.
Well, I have the floor. We have another.
You don't have it all night long, though.
We have a staff member who has gone over 7 years and 11 months. That's almost 8 years.
He's not here tonight. Day, Nancy, that is an unsung.
By the next
Nancy, you're out of order. Nancy,
why?
You're out of order.
Because I'm telling you something that's
true. You're making
truth.
An unsubstantiated claim.
No, I'm saying
we're discussing.
Marianne just announced it, that our election of our directors is in question because of the candidates
and the chair has ruled.
So the staff runner up, Rodrigo Bravo, needs to be alerted if he's going to be able to be on this board, and he should have been on this board.
Madam Chair,
out of order. This is the second time.
Member to order.
Nancy, you're out of order. This is your second warning.
I asked you a question.
You are out of order.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Adriana, be very quick, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. You just called the member to order and you didn't say anything. You give her the floor. Every one of us spoke our minds, and a lot of members are in. I know, even if you don't like what the person is saying, why don't you give that member just the respect of listening?
Because it's not related to the PNB report.
May I finish?
No. I'm about to leave this meeting, ladies and gentlemen. I'm kind of done.
Oh my God. Madam Chair, why are you warning her when you give her the floor?
Don't get the floor the rest of the night.
She was not speaking on the topic.
Are you having the floor?
She was not speaking on the topic. I'm moving on.
Like all of us.
Yes. Move on.
Madam Chair,
Susan,
I can address the topic.
Thank you.
Okay, first of all, regarding the vote of members, that is, our general counsel addressed that very question. A vote of members would be required for signal swaps, which are not teed up at this time, and we hope they don't have to be ever. For the buildings, those do not constitute a sufficiently high percentage of the assets, and therefore, the general counsel said it was okay to sell them. They, as you all know, have already been encumbered as collateral for the FJC loan. Regarding litigation, this the Pacifica Foundation has years and years and years of very bad litigation. Our general counsel, before he was our general counsel, sued Pacifica. This is something that has happened for many years, and the most recent ones are not due to any individual set or factions. Bylaws do not provide for what happens when there is no election. There are conflicting provisions, and our general counsel, frankly, our general counsel and our parliamentarian disagreed. We had 4 votes on the PNB regarding this, and the votes were 10-4. Basically, each one, I can get you the specific votes each time. Our general counsel has consulted with the AG.
Point of information. Susan, are these votes that were taken in open session?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Has consulted with the Attorney General about, are we behaving in a way that is irresponsible? And the Attorney General has replied that if careful consideration has been given to the bylaws and reasoning behind them, and there are clear votes, that we are acting in a way that is responsible. Let me speak to selling assets. Selling assets is bad, okay? We have not only an urgent short-term cash problem, we have a structural problem, which is that radio is not paying its own bills. So we have got to change the business model in some substantial way, and an important use of proceeds of selling of any assets will be to invest in new capabilities, such as the ones that Nancy brought up, which can modernize our distribution of content and can reinvigorate our position as being the voice of progressive, the most powerful voice of progressive causes. So there are the disagreements that there are regarding elections are at KPFK. KPFK has refused to seat the people whose terms were extended and has rotated in people who had not been elected. What the general counsel has advised KPFK is that they had 2 legal choices. One was to extend the terms for 3s and 6s, or the other is to leave any terms not extended vacant. What KPFK did instead was they took alternates in. The point the general counsel makes is if you cut off the term, you also cut off the term of the alternates. That is the dispute that is underway. The PNB has declared the meetings that are being held invalid, illegal, and has declared actions taken in them as null and void. That is the situation that exists now, and the PNB encourages the KPFK local station board to come into compliance with the legal positions taken by a substantial majority of the Pacifica National Board, relying on the advice of our general counsel.
The delegate assembly cannot be overruled by the PNB.
Thank you. We need to get on with that. We're good. I want to get on to the committee reports. We have Henry Faust Task Force on Grants. He distributed a written report, which you all have in your email box. Fundraising Task Force, Venetia, do you have a report?
No.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to that next month. MSRC Finance and Governance are all on hiatus, which takes us down to Captain Tom and Outreach.
I yield my time to Teresa Allen.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Let me check. Okay. Outreach participated in the MLK parade. We carried a banner. There were two banners with MLK on them. We have found one of them. We had a volunteer who reconstructed the frame, and we distributed flyers in the parade. I found it was very successful. I wish now, on afterthought, that we had said something on the flyer about our call-in show. So those people could have said, hey, I can call into a show. Some people don't even know what call-in shows are about. But we met a lot of people on the parade route that knew what KPFT was. We have one person currently who is going to spearhead participation in the parade, the rodeo parade, to distribute flyers. And we are working with Robin to create those flyers, or business cards. And we are talking about creating a business card for KPFT that could be distributed, with, QR codes on it. This is what the KPFT quarter flyer looked like. It had an MLK quote on it, and it had three QRs, one for listening live, one to go straight to the KPFT schedule, and the other one to donate. We are working on the Art Car Parade, and our next meeting. Tom, do you know the date of our next meeting?
Yes. I believe. Yes, it's February 16th.
It's February 16th at 6:15 p.m.
Thank you, Teresa. I'd like to add something to all four members of the Outreach Committee that participated in the MLK parade. Did an excellent job, and I'm fortunate to have a lot of these committee members on my committee. Also, I'd like to compliment Nancy for her efforts, and Teresa, Frank Fracca, and who else was there?
Rod Jennings.
Yeah, Rob Jennings, yes. I'd like to also thank him as well. We are going to be working on rodeo. And also, we are going to be working on the next event. So in the future, there will be posted on KPFTX more meetings. Also, I'd like to add that we are accepting nominations for officers or the Outreach Committee. And are there any questions? Yes, Ted. You're muted, Ted.
Trying on.
I think I've unmuted myself. How much money does the committee have for flyers and other materials to promote KPFT?
As far as I know right now, this is at out-of-pocket expense. I will contact Sandy and see if we can get some kind of budget set up.
How much money are the committee members and out of pocket? How much money are you talking about having generated?
So far, I cannot answer that question. We will make an attempt to generate money for the committee.
Currently, is it less than $250? That's your best guess?
My best guess is at between 250 and lower.
250 and what?
250 and lower than 250.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Anybody else have any questions? Susan, you had your hand up.
Apologies, that was a legacy hand. I took it back down. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Are we good with outreach? Does anybody have any more questions for Tom or Teresa? Good. Committee of Inclusion, Adriana.
We don't have a report. We have a meeting tomorrow. I want to remind Maria Martinez. She was our director, and it's difficult to have quorum. She never came to any of our meetings since the beginning. I'm very sorry, but it's difficult. Members put their names there, but they don't come to the meetings. And that is a big, big thing. We have a meeting tomorrow. I hope I'm trying to find out with some members because we don't want to make the trip and to downtown to meet and then not having quorum, you know. I will let you know in the next meeting how the situation is. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And I would also remind people that the next month we will be looking at our committees. Development, Teresa.
Okay. Bear with me 1 minute. We met, I'm going on to my minutes here. I sent out a copy of our minutes from our latest meeting, which was on January the 3rd. And our next meeting is scheduled for February the 7th, which is a Tuesday. Our meetings last about an hour and 10 minutes. What we have been working on, I'll tell you this, Giving Tuesday brought in $9,500. And vehicle donations since October 1st have been $8,415. Our committee is currently trying to work on bringing in more money from vehicle donations. The value of vehicles is going up. So if we can persuade people to check their garages for all-terrain vehicles, for motorcycles, for recreational vehicles, spread the word. That money is very useful, and a lot of people just don't want to be bothered with vehicles. Also, we are working on calling lapsed donors. We are attempting to contact people who would contribute prior to February 1st. So we have a challenge grant for new donors prior to the pledge drive starting on February the 3rd. If anyone on this board has ideas for raising money for that challenge grant, please see me. Because I think one of the keys to a successful pledge drive is raising a lot of money before the pledge drive, getting those commitments before you go on the air. So you can say, so you could very well be halfway to your goal before the pledge drive starts. And we are looking for musicians or speakers who might like to give concerts or speech or talks. That could be fundraisers for the station. That's primarily what we're working on.
Chair? I think that we lost Jane.
I'm in the other side of my house, and I don't know if it is my husband or a cat, or perhaps a wolf has gotten into the house. I just hear a lot of crashing and banging. I apologize. PK McCary, CAB, 5 minutes. PK?
Last month, in December, I reported to you that the CAB was working with a number of programmers outside of KPFT, but those within KPFT for a government grant in the humanities. The problem is that there's this lack of trust going on in KPFT, especially as it relates to me And so I'm taking myself out of the equation and pretty much leaving it to the other CAB members and the one LSB. I thought two LSB members were coming. It was noticed on KPFTX. And I guess it was November that we had this conversation. But anyway, the thing is that a humanities grant is about society and cultural norms. And the culture at KPFT is waning towards ignoring the BIPOC community in a way that strengthens ties and would probably increase your membership if people didn't feel that they weren't being heard or they were being dismissed. And so the deadline passed for it for January, but we've gone after another and we're working with somebody from the government. I don't know what to say, guys. I mean, you know, the chat, public comment, it's on and on and on. But I would ask the LSB to think on this question. Who is it that you're trying to keep out? And who is it that you want to weigh in? Who is it that you think should be the culture of KPFT when in reality there are multiple cultures? 20 years ago, 15 years ago, there was a commercial that said, got milk. And I put, got community with a question mark. And the question was asked, where is the community in community radio? Yeah. And the answer is everywhere. Mm-hmm. But you keep throwing people away. So I don't know what's going to happen. We were hoping that part of this would make KPFT a fiscal sponsor where part of that money would have been yours. Like I said, Sister Mama Sonia couldn't make any decisions for the LSB. This is my report that we pretty much are looking for others that will help us address the cultural mores and the cultural differences and how we can use what we learn to do better at what we do rather than this continuation of dividing and division. Any questions? Probably not.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
May I ask a question?
Yes, sure, Teresa.
I have a hands up too.
PK, have you considered coordinating appreciative inquiry for KPFT, which builds on our strengths?
I didn't understand your question. I couldn't hear it. Say it again.
Have you considered finding someone to leading an effort of appreciative inquiry for KPFT, which would build upon our strengths?
Well, I'm trained in appreciative inquiry. Cooper Ryder, who invented it along with moral imagination. This was in the 90s. Appreciative inquiry requires agreements. You all can't make agreements. You all don't make agreements. Appreciative inquiry will not work for KPFT. It works for people who may have a problem, but they genuinely like and respect each other. There's a lot of disrespect going on. I would not use appreciative inquiry. However, there are DEI models that you could benefit from, and I think that you need to look past appreciative inquiry. Appreciative inquiry, you have to have the trust of the person that you're sharing your story with. And what they do in appreciative inquiry is you don't tell your own story, Teresa. You tell my story, and I tell yours. Now, think about the two of us, just the two of us. What story could you possibly tell about me that I would trust you to tell and vice versa, because we haven't been getting along. And we haven't come to any agreements that help us do that. Appreciative inquiry won't work without people having genuine respect, acknowledging the value of the person in front of them, even if it's the first time they've met. It's a great little game. I do it a lot with kids. Appreciative inquiry is a great tool for young people, and especially in a school where bullying is rampant. But no, not appreciative inquiry. I would not recommend it.
Okay.
Maybe this is a conversation that could be continued. Thank you. Thank you both for taking it so seriously. Mama Sonia, Sister Mama Sonia, ad hoc anti-racism.
Madam Chair, you have a stack.
I do. Oh, wait. No, I do. Benicia, I'm so sorry. And the other, I'm looking at the time as well. So go ahead, Benicia. Question?
And I'm looking at the time right now too. So what I am going to do, my comments, I am going to put them in black and white, and I am going to send them out to everybody. Thank you. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Ted, you had your hand up.
Yeah, PK, I would like to know if a programmer, and I heard one this week, say regarding the COVID vaccine, the new one is no better than the previous ones. Is that the kind of a message we want to put out on KPFT?
Ted, I'm sorry, but that isn't, how is that germane to the cab?
We're talking about bringing in the community. She was talking about, are we serving the community? I'm asking if that kind of a statement, and her answer would take less time than my defense of your asking whether or not my question is legitimate. Please let her answer.
It's against my better judgment. I think your question is out of order. PK, do you want to answer really quickly?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I think that it's like whether or not you have a Republican on a progressive radio station. Of course you do. I mean, you should. And there's nothing wrong with dissent. The problem is disrespect. The problem is dehumanizing someone. I haven't been quite called the N-word by anybody particularly, but I've been called the B word many times from people that I supposedly worked with. And so if this person is having a program that questions something, it's what media is really all about. That's not a problem. It's not trying to get us to all agree. It's trying to get us to hear one another. And in hearing one another, maybe, just maybe, what would happen is that there is created some kind of understanding. You know, Dr. King said something, Harry Belafonte was talking about it in a report after he was killed. He said the night that Dr. King died, earlier that week, he said, I want integration, but I think that when it happens, it will be a burning house. I don't think I understood that until I got to be 14 and I was taking out of my school on a college campus into schools that were predominantly white. The biggest problem with integration, you want to know what it was? It was only white people making the real decisions. That was the truth of it. And what it did was it made several generations of children of color thinking that they are inferior to white people. And that's what I consider a burning house. So this is work you're talking about, Ted, Teresa. It's work. And are we ready to put up, you know, our untethered biases and to really look at the person in front of you to seek the value of that person and maybe something that you didn't understand before? I hope that answers your question, Ted.
I didn't ask that question.
I said Ted.
I know, but you brought my name into it. You're saying what am I not doing?
I didn't say
point of order. Point of order. There's a stack.
Madam Chair, is a way that Sister Mama Sonia can cross, feed the report.
Cross talk.
Where is she? Yeah.
Cross talk.
We're cross talking here. Ted, is you on the stack, Susan? No, you're
here. Yes, I have been for quite a while, and okay. Ted has already spoken, and Teresa's already spoken. And it's 10 o'clock, or it's 9:59. We have a time certain on our agenda. So I move that we adjourn.
Can we allow Sister Mama Sonia to give the report?
Everything that's after this goes on to old business and the next agenda.
I second.
I third.
Are there any objections to adjourning and picking up where we left off?
Hello, this is Mama Sonia. I will give my report next month.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Are there any objections to adjourn?
Chair, you said you were going to put the matter of the member who has gone over 7 years.
That will be taken up, obviously, next month with the rest of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's on the
agenda. So is that person voting tonight? So that person is voting tonight for the PNA directors?
No.
He's not here.
Not here.
It doesn't matter if he's not here. I mean, if he's still on the LSP, he gets a vote.
He can't vote if he's not here.
Out of order.
Oh, my God. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you all for your time and your commitment.